It's time to read the East Valley News. Thank you for joining me. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Today we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe, including Arizona literacy goals face dyslexia challenge, drive launched for Kiwanis baby shower, new owners at helm of Ahwatukee Kids Hair Salon, dog gear maker starts long road for a patent, upcoming Moon Festival celebrates Asian culture and community, and more. Our first article from the Ahwatukee Foothills News. Arizona Literacy Goals Face Dyslexia Challenge by Samantha Ray. Some experts wonder how much dyslexia is contributing to Arizona's literacy crisis and whether it's being addressed adequately. Arizona's Literacy Plan 2030 aims for 72% of third graders to read proficiently by 2030. The plan includes legislation to identify and support students with dyslexia, but some feel its true impact remains to be seen. 1 in 5 people are dyslexic, according to the National Institute of Health, making it a significant factor in the state's efforts to improve literacy scores. Proficiency percentages dropped more than 10% from 2019 to 2021, and the state has been trying to recover since then. Less than 40% of Arizona third graders scored proficient on state standardized English language arts testing in 2024, according to the Arizona Education Progress Meter by Education Forward Arizona. One of the key premises that stakeholders across the state agreed on was that starting early is essential, said Terry Clark, Arizona Literacy Director for Read On Arizona. Third grade is the end goal milestone, and it's not when we're starting. Literacy instruction and intervention are crucial in early education, kindergarten through third grade, because that's when children are learning to read. After third grade, students begin reading to learn. Alana Timmons Pugh, executive director of the dyslexic group, said that if dyslexia is not addressed by third grade, students hit a plateau in their education. While dyslexic students hit this plateau, their peers continue to learn, widening the learning gap as students progress through school. The dyslexic group, founded by mother and son team of Pugh and Sean Aguiar, provides tutoring and therapy in reading, writing, and mathematics to children and adults with dyslexia. Both bring personal experience with dyslexia. Aguiar struggled with it as a student, and Pugh has navigated it as a parent advocating for her child. Using their relatable perspective, the team aims to provide individualized academic therapy programs to achieve optimum results. In Pugh's experience, as a parent and educator, children with dyslexia are frequently dismissed as slow learners. Parents hear they'll get it eventually, and by the time schools step in, the gap has widened and intervention comes years too late. The Arizona Literacy Plan 2030 utilizes key policies and legislation that address multiple components, such as dyslexia screening, dyslexia training, and accommodations for students with dyslexia. Move On When Reading, Arizona's kindergarten through third grade reading policy, is part of the Arizona Literacy Plan 2030. Move On When Reading contains the following legislation regarding dyslexia. Arizona Revised Statute 15-704 requires that all kindergarten and first grade students be screened for dyslexia indicators within 45 days of school starting or their enrollment. The screening must assess early literacy concepts such as rapid naming skills, a skill closely tied to reading fluency. Rapid naming skills measure how quickly someone can recognize and say familiar symbols like letters and numbers. Also included in Move On When Reading is Arizona Revised Statute 15-211. This statute requires that the Arizona Department of Education designate a state dyslexia specialist to support school districts and provide resources necessary to assist students with dyslexia. Arizona Revised Statute 15-211 also requires that each school district and charter school ensure that at least one kindergarten through third grade teacher, literacy coach, or literacy specialist in each school has completed state-approved dyslexia training. Finally, it requires that all school districts serving kindergarten through third grade submit a literacy plan and seasonal universal literacy and dyslexia screening data to the Arizona Department of Education. Arizona Revised Statute 15-701 dictates that school districts and charter schools must provide for screening of pre-kindergarten through third grade students to identify those with reading deficiencies. Schools are required to notify parents of those who do not demonstrate sufficient reading skills. Under this statute, districts are also required to develop evidence-based intervention and remedial strategies for K through 3 students with reading deficiencies. Furthermore, under Arizona Statute 15-701, students who score significantly below grade level on the third grade state assessment may be held back in order to receive additional reading instruction and support. Students with dyslexia, however, may be promoted even if they do not meet the cutoff. These decisions are made case by case, based on what students' individualized education program teams and families believe is best. K through 5 literacy endorsement, though not included in Move On When Reading, is another piece of legislation addressing dyslexia that is rolled into the Arizona Literacy Plan. Arizona Revised Statute 15-501 establishes a literacy endorsement certification as a requirement for teachers in kindergarten through fifth grade. For this required certification, teachers must complete training in the science of reading, including phonics, and in strategies to help struggling readers, including students with dyslexia. Together, these laws establish a framework for early identification and intervention. However, Pew said implementation remains vague. Pew said that in her opinion, some of the literacy plan's strategies are positive and could benefit students with dyslexia. For example, the K through 5 literacy endorsement and the goal to increase the number of early literacy coaches, specialists, who support pre-kindergarten through third grade teachers in reading instruction. The earlier the better that they're identified, Pew said. However, she feels the plan leaves something to be desired: specificity. Pew points to one of the literacy plan's key goals: by 2029, identify additional preschool investments to support early learning and meet progress meter goals. There's nothing in here about implementing, Pew said. If the strategy is to dig deeper, find ways, develop strategies of how you can do it, that's great. But this isn't an implementation strategy. Additionally, she cited unclear standards as a problematic feature of the plan. For example, the literacy plan aspires that by 2027, 100% of schools will use high-quality materials as required by Move On When Reading policy. Pew questions what exactly high-quality materials are. Co-founder Aguiar brought up a major challenge when it comes to identifying dyslexia and subsequently supporting students with dyslexia. It doesn't look the same for every student. Teachers may see a child who can answer questions verbally, but struggles to write them on paper, which Aguiar said often leads to students being mislabeled as lazy. But it has nothing to do with that, Aguiar said. It has everything to do with the fact that they're struggling, and the school has to wait until the gap is so large before they step in for intervention. She said that contrasts with a policy that says, we start seeing it right now, let's just get tested, let's get it figured out, and do it. Often, students with dyslexia have independent education programs that identify them as having a learning disability rather than specifically naming dyslexia. Because of this, sometimes students don't receive adequate support. What it all really comes down to, Pew said, is that every district and school does things differently, leading to inconsistent and unspecific intervention, support, and instruction for students with dyslexia. Dyslexia has gained a lot of recognition in the past 2 decades, Pew noted, but the support and resources for people with dyslexia have not developed accordingly. More people are talking about it, Pew said. Things have been done. like kids have to be tested now, but the gap is still pretty big to close. Pew said expanding resources beyond schools is key because they just don't have the capacity to build ample dyslexia support on their own. The schools, they're in a world of hurt right now, Pew said. I mean, we could say, well, we want you to get more teachers. How are they going to do that? We want you to get more training in dyslexia. Where are you going to pull it from? I'm not being a defeatist on this, and I'm not even being pessimistic, she continued. It could happen, but I think there's probably other ways. It takes a village. I think that village has to come together for this. It's really important for this to come from more than just the schools, because I think that's what we've continued on in the past, Pew said. I think we've counted on the schools will fix this, the schools will fix this, and I don't think we really understand the barriers to the schools fixing this. Pew and Aguiar said that improving support for dyslexic students requires raising public awareness and reducing stigma through outreach and education campaigns. They also recommend a stronger collaboration between schools, advocacy groups, and parent networks to expand conversations about dyslexia, resources, and services. Finally, they both stress empowering parents with knowledge of their rights and addressing affordability barriers through scholarships, grants, and more accessible programs for dyslexia testing and education. Experts agree that identifying dyslexia early is the first step, but stay consistent support will require schools, families, and communities working together. Organizations like Read On Arizona are confident that with structured literacy and additional time and support, the gap can be closed for students with dyslexia and other literacy difficulties. That was Arizona Literacy Goals Faced Dyslexia Challenge. Our next article, Drive Launched for Kiwanis Baby Shower by AFN News Staff. The Kiwanis Club of Ahwatukee has launched a drive for its annual baby shower to expectant teen foster moms and struggling teen parents. The invitation-only shower, later in mid-October, held at a secret location to protect the parents, is mainly for students in the Tempe Union High School District Teen Parenting Program, though it also helps other teen moms and teen couples in crisis. They are collecting essential items, new or like new, for babies and mothers to help them start strong, said Kiwanis member Donna Leeds and office manager with West USA Realty in Ahwatukee, one of the numerous drop-off sites for donations. The shower is one of several major annual programs the Kiwanis Club of Ahwatukee leads mainly for teens in group foster homes, who typically have few adults or resources to turn to. Other programs include its Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas party. The Kiwanis Club of Ahwatukee was founded in 1982, and to this day remains a strong part of the Ahwatukee community, it noted in a release. We have been holding the annual Easter parade that marches up 48th Street every year for 48 years, and it is one of our biggest annual fundraisers. We are a group of friends who have a love for giving back to the community and helping our future generations. Donations sought by the club include pacifiers, baby clothes in sizes infant to 5T, diaper backpacks, receiving blankets, disposable diapers, baby wipes, baby bottles, sippy cups, bibs, and books. People wishing to make a monetary donation can go to ahwatukeekiwanis.org or email info@ahwatukeekiwanis.org. They can also send a check made out to the Kiwanis Club of Ahwatukee to Ahwatukee Kiwanis Club at P.O. Box 50596, Phoenix, Arizona 85076. The club also is looking for volunteers to help with collecting donated items from drop-off sites and to help decorate the shower site the day before the event. Places where donations can be dropped off are mainly in Ahwatukee, with the exception of Dirty Blonde Tavern at 4929 West Chandler Boulevard in Chandler. The Ahwatukee drop-off sites are Ahwatukee Swim and Tennis Center at 4700 East Warner Road, Mountain View Lutheran Church at 11002 South 48th Street, West USA Realty at 4505 East Chandler Boulevard in Suite 170, YMCA at 1030 Liberty Lane, Primrose School at 3922 East Chandler Boulevard, The Learning Experience at 5015 East Chandler Boulevard, Triple R Preschool at 4510 East Ray Road. That was Drive Launched for Kiwanis Baby Shower. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org? Then click on the link for broadcast info and audio. Today, we're focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm Bill Carney, continuing on. New owners at helm of Ahwatukee Kids Hair Salon, also by AFN News staff. The Ahwatukee location of Pigtails and Crew Cuts, Haircuts for Kids, has new owners. As parents and longtime friends, Tanushree Baisha and Sonyal Joshi say they are excited to bring their professional experience and passion to the Children's Salon at 4810 East Ray Road, Suite 9, which originally opened 5 years ago. Baisha, an Ahwatukee resident, has been a longtime customer at Pigtails and Crew Cuts since 2022, bringing her son to a salon that offers a calming and playful atmosphere, overcoming the fear of haircuts that haunt many boys and girls. So she convinced Joshi, who lives in Chandler, to join her in taking over the venue with a commitment to keeping that same welcoming energy alive while infusing the salon with a fresh perspective, grounded in their shared love for kids and community engagement. Pigtails and Crew Cuts has always made our kids feel comfortable, and we want every family that walks through the door to feel the same, said Baisha. We're focused on making the salon a place where families feel at home, like it's their Pigtails and Crew Cuts. The new owner said their plans for the business are focused on three priorities: elevated cleanliness, maintaining a safe and sparkling space for every child and parent is a top priority under new ownership. Team growth. The salon is actively hiring stylists who are passionate about working with children and want to be part of a supportive, team-oriented environment. Community involvement. With deep roots in the area, the two women said they are eager to give back through school partnerships, fundraisers, and local events. We'd love to be contacted with opportunities to support or volunteer, said Joshi. They also said the salon will continue offering the same services and hours while the team gets to know the needs of local families. Updates will be made as the salon evolves to better serve the community. We're so excited to learn and grow while making a positive impact, said Joshi. We want this to be a place where families feel welcome, stylists feel empowered, and every child walks out feeling like a star. With bright colors and whimsical decor, the Ahwatukee Salon creates the perfect kid-friendly atmosphere. In addition to themed vehicle chairs, the salon offers books, movies, video games, and a variety of other toys children can enjoy before, during, and after their haircuts. In addition to hair care services, Pigtails and Crew Cuts offers a custom line of kid-centric hair products and accessories, gifts, and a private party room for birthday celebrations. That was new owners at helm of Ahwatukee Kids Hair Salon. Our next article, Dog Gear Maker Starts Long Road for a Patent, by Paul Mariniak. Over 1.2 million inventors have patent applications of one kind or another in the pipeline with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and the owner of a unique Tempe company is among them. Jack Armstrong, owner of the Shark Fin Gear Company on South Ash Avenue, is prepared for the long wait that awaits investors, authors, and others who seek the exclusive legal right to exclude others, usually for a couple of decades, from making, using, selling, or importing an idea they have brought to fruition. Armstrong, whose company manufactures and sells a variety of canine vests, leashes, collars, treats, and other paraphernalia, is seeking that protection for his no-pull harness belly strap. It is geared to painlessly and effectively stop a dog from tugging on its owner as it tries to bolt. The patent involves the harness, the no-pull strap, the engagement zone that makes it work, and the leash, the Ahwatukee resident explained. Normally, you attach your leash to a harness, and the dog, if it's a puller, can pull you like crazy, because that's just like hooking up a sled dog, he said. While some manufacturers call their harnesses no-pull, Armstrong said they produce mixed results. When the dog pulls, it kind of turns them sideways, and it jerks the harness around and puts pressure on the legs, he said. It just doesn't even look right. I'd kind of be embarrassed if I invented that. But there's thousands of them sold because people are desperate for a solution. Armstrong's solution targets a dog's upper abdomen. His harness applies pressure on this one specific zone of their body that's identical on all breeds and all sizes. We're not engaging the muscles that they use for pulling. We're distracting their brain to a different part of their body where they're going. Oh, I don't like that. And they stop pulling. The leash length makes no difference, because when the dog gets to the end of that leash, the belly strap tightens, and that's when the dog feels that pressure and stops pulling. Armstrong said the reaction is positive when dog owners have watched his YouTube demonstrations, or better yet, taken it for a test run when they meet him at the many street fairs and other vendor gatherings where he sells his invention. They say, "This is what we've been waiting for. We've tried this, we've tried that, we've tried everything, and we're at our wit's end, and this actually works." Getting to this point has not been easy for Armstrong, and he's already knows quest for securing American protection for his invention won't be easy either. His road started over a year ago, though he was familiar with the process after having waited 2 years to secure a patent for a key part of his iFin GPS tracking system that he is still developing. For his no-pull harness, he said, "It exceeded my expectations. It took us a year to get to the point where I felt comfortable, and I knew it was worth the time and effort to apply for the patent. There were some hardware changes, some size changes, working with different dogs to see what the reactions were. That's the whole beginning of it. Just having the idea really isn't good unless you play it out like we did." The application required him to describe his invention in painstaking detail, making it clear enough, even for a cat owner, when the first draft of an application is submitted, he said, they call it an office action. An office action is where they review it. They get back to you and say, "We don't like your drawing. It doesn't exactly meet our specifications. You need to change this and this, and you have 30 days to do it." After deciding whether you can do it yourself or use AI or hire an attorney that specializes in that, you make the changes and resubmit it. And even after they accept the second draft, they get back to you and say, "There's these other issues, and that would be another office action. You must correct them in this time period and submit it, and then we'll proceed." Proceeding from there can take as long as 6 months. "They don't do any testing," Armstrong said. "That means the written description and any visual aids must be easily understood, but elaborate enough so it covers all the bases and proves that it is a true invention that hasn't been made before." Indeed, before submitting his first application, Armstrong said he scoured the internet for no-pull harnesses, which took him 6 months. He said he found some crazy ideas out there, like this one where they actually had a strap wrapped around the front leg of the dog so when you jerked it, it would jerk the dog's leg. Then there were spiked collars that Armstrong said could actually hurt the dog. Veterinarians have told people to stop using that because it damages their larynx. While Armstrong waits for a patent decision, he's selling his no-pull invention, which comes in 8 sizes so it can fit any dog. The smallest dog would be like a 7-pound dog, and that's our extra, extra, extra small size, to our largest, which is an extra, extra large, which will fit up to 200 pounds, he said. With a team of 3 seamstresses and several part-time employees making them and other products in his Tempe shop, Armstrong continues to beat the pavement, attending street fairs and all kinds across the state. He puts up a sign at his stand that says, "Does your dog pull you? Ask us how we can solve the problem. Armstrong said his invention does the rest of the cell. When we put this harness with no-pull strap on, it immediately changes the dog's behavior, he said. There's no, you have to train for a week or anything. It immediately responds. So people take their dog for a walk and come back and tell me, it's worth every dime. Armstrong is also returning to his other invention, an AI-powered technology that he calls iFIN, or Sentient Being Communication Device. If a dog got loose in Armstrong's vision, this device will tell the owner where it can be found. When the dog is where it should be, the device will provide some basic health data on the pet, like blood pressure. Armstrong has already secured a patent on an encapsulation that protects the battery in place. For more information, go to sharkfingear.com. That was Dog Gear Maker Starts Long Road for a Patent. We go now to ABC 15 News. Upcoming Moon Festival celebrates Asian culture and community, by Nick Saletti. This is your chance to celebrate Asian culture across the valley in a truly unforgettable way. You are invited to attend the Phoenix Food Fair, the Moon Festival Edition, which is a traditional Chinese fall celebration featuring water lanterns, Asian cuisine, a parade, live music, and so much more. ABC 15's Nick Saletti recently spoke to organizers who say it's all about celebrating with loved ones, showing gratitude, and hoping for good fortune. We want to feel seen, and we want to feel loved, and we want to remember our roots, explains organizer Jane Ho. We feel so loved by this community, and for us, when we think back to our home, we think back to Asia or China, and there are so many good memories, and we want to bring that here to enjoy, not just for Asians, but for everybody, the whole entire community, and enjoy culture together. The Phoenix Food Fair, the Moon Festival Edition, is happening this Saturday and Sunday, September 13th and 14th, at Kiwanis Park in Tempe from 4 to 10 p.m. And finally, My Hope Bag hosts annual breast cancer bingo event coming up in Tempe, also by Nick Saletti. It's your chance to have a good time, win some prizes, and help people in your community get the support they need when they're diagnosed with breast cancer. It's time for the annual Bingo for Bees event hosted by My Hope Bag, a Valley-based nonprofit that provides special care packages, resources, and support for anyone facing breast cancer. It was all founded by Valley resident and breast cancer survivor Sarah Ellery, who ABC 15 profiled back in 2022. The bingo event is taking place tomorrow, September 12th, at the Hilton Garden Inn off Price Road in Tempe. There are two sessions, one from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. and another from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.